Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1699, air date July 3rd, 2026.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Iduri. We have our town hall, which we do every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. And I come on around 9 p.m. and I essentially give a relevant talk about what's going on relative to our movement, the impact that we're having, how it affects you. So today, I want to, the title of the talk, people in our town hall may not be able to see it, but the title says, oh, there it is, thanks. Trump allows election fraud in Massachusetts. Judge demands Trump stop it. Trump allows election fraud in Massachusetts. Judge demands Trump stop it. So let's talk about this. Many of you know that we have built a global independent movement for truth, freedom, health. Let me repeat again. We have built, already built, after quite a number of years, nearly a decade, a movement, a real movement, not something Tucker Carlson puts on a thing saying join the movement or TPUSA. We're talking about a global movement that unites working people around the principles of truth, freedom, health. These are foundational principles. And when I say we built a movement, we have laid down infrastructure. We have an organization. We have principles. Like any sophisticated professional organization, we have training. We have new people who come in. They can become members. There's a advanced level of commitment where they can become what we call warrior scholars. They can move on to leadership, and where their advancement is based on meritocracy. So we built an organization. And what's really fascinating is the inexperienced people who come around will start critiquing us for the fact that we've actually created an organization. Yet many of these people are in organizations which have clear demands, clear protocols, and they're fine with that. But we have created a global professional organization. Professional software infrastructure, IT infrastructure, media infrastructure, personnel, all volunteer-based, all bottoms-up from working people. And when we really launched this in 2020, the establishment didn't really knew where I stood, so they actually promoted us because they thought I was in one camp, the MAGA or Trump camp. And then finally, in around, I think, late 2022, they woke up and they said, wait a minute, Dr. Shiva and this movement is not in any camp. They are independent. They follow the diktats of the working people bottoms up. Dr. Shiva came bottoms up. The people in the movement came bottoms up. And this annoyed them, and they tried to capitulate us in many different ways. And it failed. And their only way to attack our movement is not to attack it, to make us invisible. You see, in marketing, they say no news is bad news, but even if you get bad news, it's good. So typically, the typical Edward Bernays marketing model is you attack your enemy, right? The enemy that you want, okay? And then you create the dialectic. But the true enemy, you don't want to even attack them. You don't want to give them any exposure. And that is where we're at. And I'm going to walk you through an example of that. But more importantly, our movement goes into the world with three very important tools. One is the scientific analysis, an engineering analysis of how all of this works. A detailed engineering analysis that's based on first principles. Principles that govern how all of nature works, physics, or engineering systems. So the way we approach the world is not made up on some philosopher's idea, not made up by some conservative or liberal viewpoint. It's based on seeing the world as it truly is, not how we want it to be. Those reveal principles of system science. Our movement is founded on actual foundational principles. That's called theory, capital T. The second tool we give people is a community of people who give of their time, who are committed, very high degree of consciousness, people who can take criticism and recognize that in growing an organization, we need people who don't make it about themselves, but who make it about building an organizational structure. We don't frankly want immature people who are people pleasers, who are trying to, you know, be politicians. Those people are very dangerous people in any organization, okay? So we are finding people who are very mature, building a community of those people. And as those people give of their time and make contributions, they get to be in leadership positions and mentor other people. So it's an organization. It's not like everyone gets to talk whatever the fuck they want because they have an opinion. Well, you can leave that to social media influencers who can talk whatever the fuck they want, which has nothing to do with reality. We base ourselves on reality because we're actually building and growing a bottoms-up movement to fundamentally change the world. The third thing we do in a very conscious way is to take actions. To actually take actions, why do we take actions? So we look at the world in a three-part way. An action will create an experience for the individual who takes that action. That experience will then let that individual self-reflect and raise their consciousness. And once that occurs, you can't take consciousness away. And that is what the swarm does not want people to do. They don't want you taking actual actions to having experience in poking the world and see how it reacts and raising your consciousness. So they basically want you to be inactive or contain yourself into actions that never raise your consciousness. So our movement has theory, community, action. These three things are the necessary interconnected elements of a movement. So when someone says we have a movement, they're using those words to frankly manipulate you because they have no fucking movement. They don't have theory, they don't have any community, and they actually don't have any action. Now, that's what we have. So as a part of that, when we look at what's going on, we're not hermits living in a cave, philosophizing on top of a mountain. We look at the practical reality of what's taking place. There are things called elections. There are things called the judicial system, right? And within that concept that the opposition has created, we have to figure out how we maneuver. Because if you don't participate in that, you lose opportunities to act, give people experiences, and raise their consciousness. So to the extent we participate in that, it is not as though that is the end all and be all. We do that to advance the movement for truth, freedom, health. And we've been extremely successful at that. If at some point we should put a resume on the Truth, Freedom, Health site of all the successes we have, because we measure our success by how we raise an individual's consciousness, the journey that they go through. And as people move through that journey, a person with a very high state of consciousness is going from a small Hiroshima bomb to a hydrogen atom bomb. I mean, hydrogen bomb in the sense of the impact that they can have. So one individual who understands these principles can mobilize not only as 5 people, but 100 people, 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people. So the idea is to move people up that state of consciousness. So I know I'm giving you a lot of fundamentals, but that is what a movement is. A movement which is not raising people's consciousness, enabling their leadership, is not a fucking movement. So we are an independent movement. Independent meaning we don't bow down to them. We're not looking to suck Zionist cock. We're not looking for Trump's approval. We're not looking for Fucker Carlson's approval or AOC's approval. We're not going and begging to any of these podcasters. Most of them are doing one of this begging, or they're on the plantation. In fact, all of them, most of them. So what we do is we actually take action, create our destiny. So one such action, and you can go, you know, you can look at all the videos, but we don't stop. One of the most important actions we've done in the last 8 weeks has been to expose, to educate all of you on the absolute collusion of both wings of the swarm in the United States is called the Democrats and Republicans. And among those two wings They have the obvious establishment and the not so obvious. And we teach people this. This is a dynamic. And a lot of people who don't take our courses and our curriculum will never really get it. They always have these illusions. So if you're out there listening, you have to go through the program. You have to understand the not so obvious establishment. If you don't understand it, you will get fucked, period. Okay, so our central goal, our success, is moving people up in that realm of consciousness. So it's really fascinating. As we're running our campaign for Senate, we now have thousands of people getting mobilized, hundreds of people making phone calls. That's a very high degree of consciousness to say, I'm going to set aside time from not watching World Cup or not getting plastered on an NFL game, right? You can do all these activities. So these are people taking conscious choices to say, yes, I work hard. Yes, I have all these responsibilities. But in the midst of all of that, I'm going to carve out time to participate as an active citizen. So our leadership has mobilized those people from all over the world, quite incredible, to make phone calls into Massachusetts to tell people to vote for Dr. Shiva. It's quite fascinating. Something like that has never before occurred in political history, where people from all over the world are using communication technologies to mobilize people in a particular geography. Okay? Then we're getting people within the geography off their butts to go engage with other people in their daily activities, handing out a flyer, not being on social media where you don't have to look at someone, where you don't have to put yourself out. If you ever play a sports game like soccer or hockey, you get a lot of intuitive ideas. You have to watch who's coming at you. You hear, sense, smell. You have to use all your senses. Social media, you don't have to use a lot of senses. But when you get out there offline and you have to engage people, you learn a lot. We're getting people off, you know, on the ground to mobilize people to leverage the fact that there's a United States Senate campaign in Massachusetts off the ground, on the ground, to hand out flyers. And we know every two flyers you hand out will get us one vote. Without social media, without fucking Elon Musk, we do it. Let me repeat that again. We've done the analysis. You guys know I have a bunch of degrees from MIT, so I know how to do math. And the mathematics shows if we can get people on the ground and they meet another person who's independent and they give them two flyers, we will get one vote. So you want to win? You want to see an outsider, one of us, win? Either talk to Nicholas, Barb, et cetera. They'll onboard you to make phone calls. Or you can come here to Massachusetts, or if you're in Massachusetts, start handing out flyers starting July 12th. Okay? So we give people actually activities to do. All right? So wherever you are, and by you doing those activities, you're not helping me or the movement, you're helping yourself raise your consciousness. And you get better and better and better at this. I see Chris Marley from Texas. Chris does great posts. He's out there fighting with me online. He gets it. All right? And the more of us that do that, that's a movement. All right. So what did we do recently? And I want to give you an update on why this talk is titled, if Andrew brings up the talk title again, Trump is allowing the corrupt government of Massachusetts, the Democrat government, Republican Trump is allowing the Democrat corrupt government of Massachusetts, which is a home to Pocahontas, the fake Indian, which I've talked about before. He's allowing them to do election fraud. This is no hyperbole. And what's fascinating is a judge is demanding Trump stop it. So let me explain. For those of you who don't know what we started, back in May, we filed a writ of mandamus. All we said was, hey, government of Massachusetts, follow this law, which says that you cannot be deleting federal election records. Just follow the law. They didn't want to follow the law. They defied the law, and in their opposition to our lawsuit said, there are no ballot images being created, Your Honor. Dr. Shiva is just lying. We went, and they got some judge to move the court case to March of 2029. I just reread it. 3 years later. So this is a swarm, because obviously that judge had to bang somebody or do something to get his judgeship. That's how it works. The federal judge who fucked me over in the last case, it turns out, true story, his wife is a very wealthy woman. She paid off the governor so he could get a judgeship. That's how things work. Okay? So all these judges are in the swarm. And so this judge must have gotten a phone call, and he moved the case to March of 2029. This is the United States of America, okay? Where we're taught this kind of shit only occurs in Africa or some third world countries. It occurs right here. So anyway, after that occurred, we looked at it, and we have a team now. We'll train any of you to file lawsuits. Did we get a lawyer? No, we did it. Our team did it. Our movement did it. Our organization did it. Our infrastructure did it. Like that, we can do things now. We can file lawsuits better than lawyers at $0, okay? So anyway, what did we do? We filed an emergency motion 2 weeks ago, and we said, hey, judge, we want this hearing heard now before the election. It's ridiculous you're postponing it to 3 years. And furthermore, we want to let you know that Massachusetts has perjured themselves, which means lied under oath. They are, in fact, deleting ballot images. In fact, here is their own voting machine manual, which they included, which says ballot images are created. Anyway, so big victory for all of us. They allowed us to go on the record and hear that case. By the way, those only occur 1 out of 1,000 times. Victory. We did that. So we get in front of the judge. I forget her first name. Campbell is her last name. She hears the case. She was quite friendly. And we made the point, Your Honor, they've lied to you in court. There are ballot images created, and they're going to delete them. You need to stop it. The Attorney General gets up, as I talked about last week. They said they acted like Mickey the Dunce. There are no ballot images. We don't know what you're talking about. I refuted that. And we had we did a great presentation. After that, 2 weeks later, we get a letter in the mail, which is the judge's decision. She denies everything. She denies our order, but it's fascinating. In her denial letter, she does not address anything about them deleting ballot images, because I proved it unequivocally. Does not deny anything about the fact that Massachusetts is violating the federal law. Instead, she does a procedural hack. Doesn't want to address the central issue, because obviously she got her judgeship by also doing various activities. So she's on the plantation. She's a slave on their plantation. So instead of addressing the issue and calling out the criminal activities of the Democrat government of Massachusetts, she says, if you want justice, go to Donald Trump. She goes, go to the federal government and tell them to tell the government of Massachusetts to stop deleting ballot images, because you're bringing up a federal law. Now, this is fascinating, because I can actually bring it up, and she could have done something. But you see, she's on the plantation. So she doesn't want to upset her people gave her the judgeship. Everyone understand that? So she knows everything I'm saying is true, doesn't refute the truth, but tries to do an end run around the reality and says, go to Donald Trump, which is the ruling government, and tell them that they have to send a letter to the Democrat government of Massachusetts to stop deleting ballot images. So what did we do? We had a great huddle. So who is, just to reflect, the United States government has three branches: Congress, the legislative branch, the courts, the judicial branch, and the presidency, the Department of Justice. They're called the enforcement branch, right? They're the police force. Congress creates laws, and the executive branch is supposed to enforce the laws, right? So if the law says, hey, Black people and women have the right to vote, which is a law Congress passed, and then some government, state government, is not allowing Black people and women to vote, it is the Attorney General's office, which is the number one lawyer of the United States government, that must prosecute and tell that government, hey, state government, hey, you're not doing this, we're going to throw you in jail. Does that make sense? So the Congress passes laws, and the executive branch has to enforce those laws. So the law on the books, 52 USC 20701, clearly states for federal elections, state governments cannot be deleting the ballot images, which are the actual ballots, which are tabulated by the machine. So all voting machines create a ballot image, and it is the ballot image that is read by the voting machine, not the paper anymore. The paper is like kept aside. So what's the ballot? It's a ballot image. And by the law, 52 USC 20701, you must preserve all records in connection with the federal election. Okay, it's black and white. It doesn't even say may, it says shall. Okay, so what we did was we said, this is actually great. We poked the bear attacks us, we poke it again, and then it says, go over there, right? Go talk to that bear, okay? So we said, this is great, because what's happening is the Democrats are committing election fraud in Massachusetts, and the Democrats are saying, to go get justice, go talk to the Republicans. And Donald Trump, as many of you know, has used election integrity to make money off of it using my material. He raised about $500 million. It's all recorded. You can go see it. All right. So Donald Trump has talked about election integrity. That's become a Republican issue, just like racism is a Democrat issue, right? They just take whatever issues and they use them to fire people up. So here, a Democrat government in Massachusetts, which is violating the law, is saying, go to the Republicans if you want restitution. Now, what's going on here? Am I a Republican or a Democrat? Is our movement Republican Democrat? No, we're independents. So the central thesis, as I said at the outset of this conversation, is that the swarm will never want to give independent movements any limelight. They want to keep us invisible, because giving people attention builds our brand, gives us fame, right? Gives us views and clicks. Got it? They cannot afford to do that. They're going to commit suicide. People say, shit, these people are talking the truth. Why am I listening to Fucker Carlson? He's running a CIA operation. By the way, Fucker Carlson, aka Tucker Carlson, just said, we need to build an independent third party. Same with Marjorie Taylor Greene. And I predicted that. They are watching us. They know our movement is growing. And they know that they will have to build a top-down movement, not bottoms up. Not bottoms up, top-down. And top-down movements pretending to be grassroots movements were a central strategy of the United States Central Intelligence Agency, which Fucker Carlson's father worked for, and did three operations for the CIA. Fucker Carlson applied to be part of the CIA. Okay? They claimed he didn't get a job. I would argue he's always gotten a job with the CIA. Okay? So the United States social media is run by the CIA and then a bunch of useful idiot influencers. That's what's happened. So when they're going to build their independent top-down movement, it's going to be executed by the intelligence agencies of the United States against true bottoms-up movements. All right. So what did we do getting back to the court case? We said, okay, this is a great opportunity to raise people's consciousness. We're going to write a letter to the Attorney General of the United States, who's Todd Blanche, and his second-in-command, Harmeet Dhillon. And Harmeet, if you're listening, you and I have exchanged phone calls. You've shared with me, you like what I say, and you've also shared with me, Harmeet, with no disrespect, that, hey, Dr. Shiva, I would have liked to help you, but I'm getting pushback from the Republicans not to help you because you're not a Trump supporter. Well, Harmeet Dhillon is now the Assistant Attorney General and head of the Civil Rights Division of the voting section, which is responsible for the execution of 52 USC 20701. So what we did was we wrote a demand letter. In fact, I texted Harmeet. I gave her a chance. I have her personal cell. I said, Harmeet, look, you can end this by simply writing a letter to the Secretary of State right now, telling them to not delete ballot images. It ends it. And I said, "Don't. This is not an issue about me running for office. This is a systemic issue. Silence." We wrote to Fucker. I get, by the way, everyone says, "Oh, why don't you give Sucker another chance?" We wrote to all of these grifters. Nothing, nothing. Glenn Greenwald, Tucker Carlson, all of them. I did it not because I expected anything, because I have the receipts now. "Oh, Dr. Shiba, you're always critiquing Fucker Carlson. Why didn't you give him a chance?" Here it is. Did he do anything? No. Did Glenn Greenwald do anything? No. But we've done that. We will do it ourselves. So what we did 24 hours ago, we sent a demand letter to the Department of Justice of the United States. Because why? They are supposed to execute the law. Am I right? If someone is murdering someone, the police are supposed to throw that guy in jail. If someone is violating 52 U.S.C. 2071, Donald Trump is supposed to unleash his Department of Justice to throw them in jail. So we wrote a letter to Trump's Department of Justice demanding. We're not asking anymore. We're demanding. We're saying, and I'll show you the letter. So for the record, you know, we sent this out. And by the way, we're going to actually share with everyone, if you want, the FedEx tracking number so you can actually track it. If you guys want it, we'll give it to you tonight. Okay. Nicholas, can you, I don't know if you have the letter. I can bring it up. I have it here. Let me bring it up. So I'm going to now show you the letter that we Federal Expressed out to the Attorney General. He's actually, to be correct, he's the acting Attorney General of the United States. And we also sent it to Harmeet Dhillon. And this letter basically says, if they don't do anything in 48 hours, we're going to file a federal lawsuit against them and the Secretary of State, Republican and Democrat, to show that they are in cahoots, that they're working together to not to violate the law. Okay. They're, and let me read it to you. Okay. Can I share the screen, please? I think I can.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Let me bring this up. Can you guys see the screen?
Yep.
Okay. So, it says, demand, formal legal demand notice of impending litigation via electronic transmission certified mail. It says mandatory enforcement of federal. So notice it's going to Todd Blanche. If you didn't know who he's the acting attorney general, he is supposed to enforce the law, and Harmeet Dhillon, which handles the civil rights division. And what we said here was, dear acting general Blanche and assistant attorney general Dhillon, our constitutional architecture demands that when Congress speaks clearly, the executive branch must act, execute faithfully. This letter constitutes a formal administrative demand for the United States Department of Justice to exercise its non-discretionary enforcement authority under 52 U.S.C. 20701. That's the law that says election records must be retained to address a clear and ongoing structural failure within the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. The statutory text enacted by Congress is unambiguous. Under 52 U.S.C. 20701, every election officer shall retain and preserve for 22 months all records and papers relating to any requisite to voting in a federal election. I'm running for U.S. Senate. The word, quote unquote, shall is mandatory, leaving no room for administrative discretion or bureaucratic convenience. In ongoing proceedings, Dr. Shiva Iduri versus William Francis Galvin, we have the court number for everyone to look up. The chief election officer of Massachusetts admitted under penalty of perjury that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts systematically configures its electronic optical scan voting tabulators, voting machines, to disable image saving capabilities. From a systems engineering perspective, the operational reality is absolute. These electronic voting systems cannot count paper. They must generate a digital ballot image in short-term memory to process and tabulate a vote. Toggling the storage setting to off is a deliberate administrative instruction to intercept and auto-delete a primary electronic record before permanent storage. A state official cannot utilize software configurations to systematically erase data that federal law commands them to keep. To permit this would render the federal statutory mandate a nullity. And I also pointed out their own department is the one who supports this ruling. Crucially, this is not a novel interpretation of the statute. The Department of Justice has previously and explicitly articulated that digital ballot images are indeed federal records and must be preserved under 52 U.S.C. 20701. Adhering to this federal mandate, numerous states across the union routinely configure their tabulation systems to save and retain these images as a standard practice for transparency and auditability. The current posture of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts creates an unconstitutional, localized deviation from federal law. We cannot tolerate a lawless patchwork where some states preserve the electronic data necessary to verify a federal election while others actively wipe the digital trail. The Supremacy Clause, which is of the Constitution, and the structural integrity of federal elections demand geographic and operational uniformity. A citizen's right to verifiable vote count in a federal race cannot depend on the geographic fortuity of whether a state election official decides to obey a federal criminal mandate. The point here is that you can't have, to put it much more, that it makes sense to everyone, you can't have, you know, the state of Colorado saying, hey, there's a law that says women can vote, but we decide women can't vote. And Massachusetts says, yeah, we allow women to vote. And Texas says we don't. That's called a patchwork. Okay? This is a perfect question for the Supreme Court. You can't have that. You have to have uniformity of a federal law, or you have to get rid of the federal law and you have to say states can do whatever they want. Okay? That's sort of what happened with abortion. Okay? They said, let the states decide. But in this case, there is a federal law and you have to follow it. On June 24th, the Massachusetts Superior Court judge denied preliminary injunctive relief based on the merits of the statutory violation, but on a rigid procedural constraint. The court ruled that the individual candidates and citizens possess no private right of action to enforce federal election retention laws, concluding explicitly, and this is what she wrote in her ruling, quote, it is the Attorney General of the United States which may bring a cause of action for the enforcement of 52 U.S.C. 20701. There is no private right of action. What she's saying is, Dr. Shiva, you're in the right, but the Attorney General has to enforce this. You guys got it? So by shutting the courthouse door to private litigants, the judiciary has concentrated the entire enforcement mechanism of this federal statute within your offices. Under the separation of powers, when courts rule that the keys to enforcement belong exclusively to the executive branch, Donald Trump, the executive cannot retreat into passive inaction. For the Department of Justice to stand by while a state administrative apparatus, Massachusetts, systematically deletes data required to verify a federal election represents a fundamental breakdown in the rule of law. It allows the state to utilize procedural shields to immunize its own lawful conduct from judicial review. The Constitution's structural design does not permit the federal government to look the other way. That's what Trump's doing right now. When state actors bypass federal criminal retention mandates, particularly when those state actors are entrenched within a jurisdiction heavily for administrative insularity. If the Department of Justice refuses to issue a standard statewide preservation notice to Secretary Galvin, he's the Secretary of State of Massachusetts, simply because the candidate raising this alarm is independent, outside of the major party organizations, it compromises the institutional neutrality of the department. It signals to the American people that federal law will only be enforced when it serves partisan interests, Democrats, Republicans. So we gave them 48 hours. Because local election authorities are preparing software settings, or actively preparing software settings for the upcoming 2026 election cycle on a rolling basis, the injury is imminent and the harm to data preservation is unrecoverable. You have 48 hours from the receipt of this transmission until 5 p.m. EDT on Friday, July 3rd, to confirm in writing that the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division will issue an immediate, explicit record preservation directive to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. If this window expires without affirmative action, it will be treated as a definitive administrative refusal to act. plaintiff will immediately seek judicial intervention in the United States District Court for the District of Massachusetts, naming both of you in your official capacities under the Administrative Procedure Act, APA 5 USC 706, to compel the performance of a duty unlawfully withheld. Basically, you're not doing your fucking job. The integrity of our constitutional structure depends on the faithful execution of the laws. The responsibility to act rests squarely with you. So we submitted this. I think they received it. We can check the FedEx. I'll tweet it out if people want it, and you guys can check it. Okay. Bottom line is we are the ones defending the actual election integrity, not Donald Trump, not the Democrats. And what's beautiful about this, their inaction, is we're going to file a lawsuit. It'll have Democrat Secretary of State Galvin, who's, by the way, the number one most powerful Democrat in the country. And you'll have Todd Blanche, a Republican, and you'll have Harmeet Dhillon. So we're going to be able to educate people, say, look, this lawsuit is against Republican and Democrat who are in cahoots to execute election fraud. See how beautiful this is? But if we didn't poke the bear, we wouldn't have gotten it this far and we wouldn't be able to share this education. That's a fucking victory. All of you can go to any numbnut who's on the MAGA side or the Democrats and say, you both of you are full of shit. You guys commit election fraud and the Republicans are protecting you. So don't tell me you're on two different sides. You got it? But if we didn't do this, we don't have this action, the experience, and the historical record. So we created our reality. That's a fucking movement. You see? We create our history. That's a movement. We're not sitting there waiting for fucker to do something. Or Donald Trump or some podcaster to put us on their fucking show. We wrote to Clayton Morris. Do something, Clayton. He hasn't done anything. He liked my story. And then the next day after I exposed Tucker Carlson, he had Tucker Carlson on his show. So our movement doesn't rely on any of these people. We have a flyer, right? We're going to start handing out. This is a version of it, okay? This flyer is more powerful than sitting on fucking social media. Grocery store, I've done it. You hand it to people. People say, this is fucking beautiful. Because what we're doing is this flyer is putting people on notice. Massachusetts is 65% independent. Why are you voting for Democrats and Republicans? What the fuck is wrong with you? And notice, we have not asked them for their vote. We've said, these are the facts. I'm here. It's up to you. I'm not begging to you for your vote. You see? So that's the difference. Very subtle differences. We are delivering education. And out of the millions we'll hand out, maybe we'll get 10 amazing leaders out of this. That's a fucking victory. That's a victory. That's a movement. And so every one of you who's in our movement, who's come here and who's listening, your coming here is a victory for you. We don't measure our victory whether Tucker Carlson puts us out. And we know Elon Musk, that scum, by the way, Elon Musk, the scumbag, put a picture of the pig in Orwell's, you know, if you read George Orwell's novel, he has a pig who talks about liberation, yet he's the one who suppresses liberation. That's Elon Musk. So I said, Elon Musk is a fat pig who talks about free speech, but has nothing. So it's very Orwellian, Elon Musk talking as though he's fighting for us. It's total Orwellian shit that's taking place. But we're not relying on them. This flyer is more powerful than any fucking electronic medium. Getting out there, meeting people, and then taking it from your hand. That's a conversation. You hand out two of these, we get a vote. And by the way, one flyer coming out of a grocery store, people put it on their dining room table. The data shows 2.6 people will see that. So we're not reliant on them. And that's why we will be made invisible, because we basically said, we don't fucking need you. And that's how we need to leave our lives and conduct ourselves. All right, so there you go. Donald Trump used my stuff to raise a lot of money for himself under election integrity. The Democrats talk about wanting to help Black people and women. They raise money that way. Donald Trump raises money fighting immigration. They only deport 2-3% of the illegal immigrants. The billionaire class needs illegal immigration to run everything. They're not going to deport illegal immigrants. They attack illegal immigrants. They act like they're doing something to scare actually the illegal immigrants to lower their wages. But it's actually white on white crime because it lowers a white person's wages. But white people are thinking these guys are fighting for them when they're actually, their wages are getting lowered. It's white on white crime. I wrote a book called Deportation Theater. See, we help people understand the system dynamics. And we're creating people who can go help train other people. Those are our victories. So you can't lose with our movement. You can only win. Because every person we get is a victory, right? Anyone who understands the not-so-obvious establishment, that's victory. Because you're breaking people's bullshit. Because every time another person comes in, Thomas Massie, AOC, you know, they're breeding all these democratic socialists now to act like they're anti-establishment. But they're all being driven top down. So there you go. Any questions? Andrew, if you have questions online, we'll go to the question session. And we want to encourage everyone to, there's two activities you can do. You can get online with the team. We'll onboard you. You don't need to even, it's not going to eat up your minutes on your phone. It'll use our phone system that we've created to make phone calls. We've been very successful. We're pretty close to getting our goal. We want 300 people making calls. I think we're about 30 away or 40 away. And then we got to onboard those people. So it's been amazing what our organization has been able to do. Really incredible. We have a movement. We have an organization. And independent of this, as Nicholas is getting questions, we have, you know, three major solutions now. The clean food movement, a global movement which has the seal for clean food. We're going to be launching very shortly the clean app that you can scan millions of products and figure out what's clean or not. And we've created a program, a curriculum, an institute, so anyone here can actually build a career becoming a clean food, you know, systems consultant, helping other organizations get clean. We all have the system self-educator program. We're working very hard with a number of our leaders. I don't know if they're here today, Noel, Emily, who've put together a global program to help people become system self-educators, get trained, and then create sustainable careers for themselves. And then we have Cytosolve, and we've created a program for people to actually create their own capabilities to do their own analysis on whether big pharma's products work or not, what nutraceutical products work, whether vitamins work or not. You can be your own scientist. It's a tool that lets you become a scientist from your own, you know, computer. No animal testing. All right, any questions? Andrew, if you have any questions online, you can just cut them and post them in the chat, and I'll see them. Yeah. So in the next 48 hours, we'll likely file the federal lawsuit and then an appeal at the state court. That's our plan. So you see, we don't give up. The fact that the government, that Trump is not doing anything about this, will go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court loves cases where they see one court doing something and another court doing the opposite. Like one court is enforcing the law and the other court is not enforcing the law. That's where the higher court has to step in and say, no, this is the law of the land. This is how it works. So that's what this fits into. It's like your classic Supreme Court. The Supreme Court only takes 2-3% of all the cases that are filed.
Dr. Shiva, I have a question from R. Punko. He said, one of the greatest challenges facing any genuine Bonza movement is maintaining momentum after repeated setbacks when activists invest years of volunteer time, resources, energy, only to see what to appear to be coordinated resistance from entrenched political, media, corporate, and institutional interests. many become discouraged. It can feel as though logic, evidence, and even the rule of law are secondary to protecting the existing power structure.
So, Robert, I can only say you need to look in the mirror and ask what's got you depressed, okay, because that's where that's likely coming from. But you have to understand that much of that feeling of not making progress comes from what you actually intended your goal to be. Okay? So many of these movements set the goal to win a political office. Okay? Some of them set the goal to raise X amount of money. Some of them set the goal, we're going to have a revolution tomorrow. Right? The revolution is here. It's going to occur. It's the revolution is at hand. Okay? So all of those expectations that they set was based on a wrong theoretical framework. It was based on a theoretical framework that did not understand the system of oppression. So for example, I'll give you another example. I have a guy who will call me every week. And he'll say, this is going to be, Dr. Shiva, the world, the economy is going to collapse tomorrow. You've heard these people, right? Oh, my God, the Iran-Iraq war. It's going to lead to Armageddon. You've heard that, right? So another set of people have these doomsday predictions all the time. And when that doesn't occur, they get depressed. Okay? It's funny. So everyone's got these predictions of what they think is going to occur, but they're missing the central thing on what you need to do on the system dynamics. So for example, the thesis that it's all going to go to hell one day and then the people rise up, right? Like the shit is going to hit the fan. You've heard this, right? And then people will get mobilized. Well, that is coming from a very wrong theoretical lack of understanding, thinking that the people running this world are like weak, are like dumb. Like, I'll tell you this, the people running this world do not want the world to get destroyed. No matter all the regime mullahs in Iran, ultimately, they have a lot of wealth. They don't want to blow up the world, ultimately. So they'll bring the world to the edge of destruction. And if you notice, the stock market will tank. And you can look at all of these cycles. And they'll always pull out of it. Have you ever noticed that? It always happens this way. So there are these large cycles and these small cycles if you study it. So the establishment, the swarm, is very clever. Do not underestimate them. So people underestimate them thinking they don't have 50 different, just like we're creative. The people who run the establishment are quite creative. Scott Bessent, who's the U.S. Treasury Secretary, is not a fucking idiot. He's quite smart. Bill Clinton is not an idiot. Donald Trump, whatever he is not an idiot. So people have these illusions about thinking that the swarm is stupid and they're going to do... No, they're very well organized. Highly organized. So if you think some major cataclysm is going to occur, or if you do just a little bit of this, then the movement is at hand. That's very, very mistaken thinking. That is being led by people who don't understand political theory. And Robert, many of these political movements were, at the origin of them, if you look at the roots of them, go back to either classic liberalism, some philosophical ideas of John Locke, or they go back to some Hegelian idea that comes from German philosophy. If you go to the root of it, they're philosophers who sat around, I think the world is fucking like this. And then they built these whole superstructures. And then other people followed those superstructures and create movements. They were flawed at the core. They didn't understand system dynamics. It was only in the 1950s did we even have the science of systems. Lenin, Marx, Thomas Paine. You can go across left or right, fascist, non-fascist. These are all ideas that they had. They weren't grounded in theoretical framework. So we have that. So when you look at it that way, you start recognizing the swarm is very, very creative. They're very decentralized. They highly, you can just put your note in the chat, Robert. So they manipulate themselves. They're very, very manipulative. Okay. So movements do not have that. And furthermore, movements are predicting a timeline. We don't know what the timeline is. What we do know is that certain things must get done, that you need to educate people on this. You need to grow a movement, and you cannot give people false expectations. So that's why a lot of these quote unquote movements fail, because they set false expectations from day one. Right? Like the Democrat Socialists of America, right? DSA, where Mamdani comes from. You can look at their background. Their entire process is electoral politics and aligning themselves with the Democratic Party. Tea Party attempted to do that, and they imploded after a while. But my point is that they are fundamentally in a realm of not looking at the end state, or they're giving false expectations or a timeline. There's no timeline. Next question. Andrew, did you just put something on the chat?
I did, Dr. Shiva.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Can you read it, Crystal? Oh, let me get it.
It's from Jeremy in New Jersey. He asked, since the bad guys control politics and who gets voted in, how would any of this help?
Yeah, so did Jeremy just join, or was he listening?
New today, new to everything.
Okay. So Jeremy, good to have you. I don't know when you came into this talk. So the bad guys have always controlled politics. Okay. So this is I'll give you the short version of this. The journey of humankind has been to solve major fundamental problems in how nature operates. And we've always been taught, like, this is the way things will always be. You follow, Jeremy? So the analogies we've been told that human beings can't fly, only birds will fly. We will always live in darkness. The thought of you and I even communicating right now would have been impossible, right? I'm talking to you over this device, and you're in New Jersey, and you're hearing me. It's magic. So there are many phenomenon that human beings thought were impossible. And in any one of these big problems of human existence, it has required a breakthrough in science and engineering. It hasn't been philosophy, it's been a breakthrough, okay? So how did we begin to fly, which was seen as impossible? Like, you could say the same thing, right? Like, people have been around for thousands of years wanting to fly. People have been falling off cliffs and they're dying. People try to do this and they keep failing and failing. I'm so depressed, I can't fly. Well, Bernoulli made a major discovery, a mathematician. It was about how lift and surface area work together. And that was the basis of creating flight. Then people did the engineering on it. For example, the thought of two people communicating at long distances would have seemed impossible until Faraday and Maxwell figured out Maxwell's equations, how electricity and magnetism work together. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is everyone should be learning these things at a high school level, because it trains your brain to start realizing what is possible when you apply science and engineering. So the educational system doesn't teach these fundamental things. It used to up until the 70s in the United States. But anyway, those breakthroughs made major, major changes. Okay? We were able to create this device, right, that I'm getting my email on and can talk to people. Quite extraordinary. Now you look at the fact that people look around. Well, politics, as Jeremy says, you know, it's always the bad guys who get voted in. There's nothing we can do. It just seems like it's always bad. It's true. But if you look at the long arc of human history, you will find that we've been just like the people trying to build an airplane. If you read System and Revolution, I talk about this. You know, they got Kitty Hawk up for 12 seconds, right? Now imagine being a critic and saying, ha, 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 you only got it up for 12 seconds. It doesn't work. You don't have airplanes with bathrooms yet. what the fuck are you talking about? This sucks, right? Engineers, we know how dumb that is to say that, because engineering advancements start with a theory, then you have to work at it. Well, if you look at the path of human liberation and freedom, there were slave riots. Then people came up with some theories, liberalism, classic liberalism, or Marxism, Leninism, or fascism. So people have been coming up with these theories, trying to poke the bear to see how human beings can get liberated. And these have gone through different evolutions. And we still have exploitation, global exploitation, right? The breakthrough that I uncovered, and I, with all humility, no different than Bernoulli or these folks, is that the knowledge of system science provides us a framework, an engineering, a scientific framework to understand the dynamics of human liberation and human oppression. And if you don't study that, you will think anything's impossible. No different than if we didn't study Bernoulli's principles, if you didn't study the laws of electromagnetism, we wouldn't have these things. You would think this was impossible. So when you discover something new and it's revolutionary, there's a time scale to educating people on that. You need to create the institutional framework. We had to create engineering institutions. We had to educate enough people. And that is what we're doing. And so it's great to have you, Jeremy. I encourage you to go through the program and recognize that we're not taking on a simple problem, okay? The development of email was seen as impossible. The development of cytosol was seen as impossible. The development of any technologies. We have a number of entrepreneurs here who have created companies. And you can talk to them. The rocket science was all the little things they had to do every day, every day, every day in building their organizations. It wasn't just one thing. And people who haven't built stuff get burned out, get depressed. But if you're an engineer and you build stuff, you know there will be problems and you're constantly working, working. And every day you work at it, you learn new things. And you grow and you grow. And there will be setbacks. But you're growing from a fundamental idea and you're bringing people in. So we have to have those clear expectations. You have to view this as we're innovating and building something with a core set of principles. And it's never ending. It's going to constantly evolve. But if you give people this illusion that it's always bad, you can't do anything, then you're like the guy, you know, saying, well, Icarus couldn't fly, his wings melted, you know, we can't fly. But human beings do pretty amazing things. We do incredible things. Look at all the things you have in your living room and your home. These are all done by human engineering, discipline, organization, structure. So we're taking on a big problem, right? Human liberation. How do you do that? And we're saying you have to raise people's consciousness. And that comes from organizations, training, you know, that's why we kept saying theory, community, and action. You need all three. Jeremy, I hope that helps.
Dr. Shiva, he left the meeting, but I told him you were answering his question.
All right, so you can go review it.
He's watching on YouTube live.
Okay. So anyway, to wrap up, July 12th, everyone's invited. You know, we're going to be out there. I'm going to be going to 10 different locations every weekend on the ground. I love doing this, training people, you know, how to hand flyers out. It may seem simple. It may seem, you know, something rudimentary, but it is an extraordinary experience when you do it with people. You learn a lot. If there's no other questions, I don't know who's running the meeting today, but I want to thank you all. And by the way, other people, we do Q&A to Robert, other people in our movement. You can also come to our Q&A sessions. They're much more longer, and we go over theory and go deeper into any particular questions.
Yeah, R. Punko has two more questions. He says, is your systems health framework, how do you recommend reigniting the passion, optimism, and volunteer commitment of a grassroots movement after multiple defeats or failed attempts? More specifically, how do you prevent dedicated people from becoming demoralized, withdrawing from civic engagement, or ultimately capitulating to what they perceive as a corrupt political system?
I'm not sure what he's, it's the same question, isn't it?
Yeah. Pretty much so.
Yeah, tell Robert to come to Q&A.
Okay.
I think it'll be valuable for him. All right. So I would recommend, if people want to get onboarded to make phone calls, you do that. If people want to make handout flyers, Barb and others will help onboard you. Is there any other announcements? We have a barbecue coming up on June 11th in Cambridge. Not this Saturday, the following Saturday. And anyone's welcome to come to be part of that. And that's about it. If we don't have any other questions, I wish you all well, and we'll see you next week. Keep an eye on what's going on with this lawsuit and others. And also, if you know independent podcasters, not big guys, small guys in niche areas, we want to support them. Okay? We can do co-interviews and co-streams with them. Okay? Thank you, everyone. Be well.
Thanks, Dr. Shiva.
Yep. We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite, working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training, because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game,
and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done, and it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inter-office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light. Learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.